It's basically the sound of a generation of people gasping for oxygen.
I really believe we're talking about the big trend in business over the next decade.
You don't have a monopoly on all the information, therefore everybody can question.
Welcome to a special edition of the CEB Talent Angle, a podcast about talent. I'm Principal Executive Advisor Scott Engler, and today we have a best of podcast. 10 thought leaders, 10 lessons, 10 minutes. Each guest giving their single most important thought about team leadership. We begin our 10 and 10 with thoughts from a podcast that one of our executives called the most useful 1 hour she'd ever spent. BCG senior leader Rosalind Torres begins with her single most important message for leaders.
Allocate your time as if it were the most precious asset, because it is. Really making sure that you're focused on the right topics, the right conversations with the right people, and that the time horizon is not just executing today's agenda, but that you're ahead and you're thinking 12, 18, you know, in some cases, some CEOs or some leaders think even 10 or 15 years out. And, you know, if you want to check whether or not the time is being used to the ultimate investment opportunity, look again at your priorities and say, gee, do my hours that I spend really match against those priorities? And also, are there things perhaps that I could be delegating to others, which, by the way, stretches and grows them?
Absolutely.
And releases time for me as the leader to be able to do what I really should be doing in the role, what I need to stretch to do, as opposed to just what I'm comfortable with.
And being complacent in this environment is a recipe for being left behind. And no one knows that more than CEB Ventures' Dan Frawley, who has a front row seat for how tech is turning the talent and the business worlds upside down.
You don't want to lie to yourself. The best leaders are, they're incredibly visionary and optimistic, but they're incredibly pragmatic. I think they refer to it as the Stockdale principle about the reality of their current circumstances. In other words, don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
And there's enough change in coming on today to think the status quo is going to be good enough tomorrow is just kidding yourself, right? When you see some of the technology, if you saw some of the technologies that I see on a day-to-day basis, you would absolutely understand that, why I say that.
And there's one company that has lived this. It is Microsoft, which is changing rapidly under the leadership of CEO Satya Nadella and Chief People Officer Kathleen Hogan, who are creating a new culture of growth and risk.
Really focusing on this concept of always learning and taking risks and rewarding that, realizing that potential is not predetermined, but really can be nurtured and grown. This concept of taking risks, always learning, being open. Failure's not necessarily a bad thing. It's, in fact, essential to mastery. And so how do you motivate and reward that?
But getting comfortable with failure is not something that comes easily to leaders. In fact, it really doesn't come easily to people. Evolutionary psychologist Bill von Hibble says hierarchical leaders are actually programmed to hide weaknesses. But that lack of candor creates distrust and dysfunction.
What butters your bread is what, of course, makes your group a success. And what leaders often do is they worry, they're insecure, and they say, I can't show any sign of weakness. But in actual fact, it's the exact opposite. To show a sign of weakness is to really show your strength. Mm-hmm. A baboon will never show a sign of weakness because he knows everybody else is just waiting to fight and kill him so that they can be the leader. But an elephant leader is really great at saying, gee, I have no idea what the answer to this question is, or, oh, I was wrong last week when I suggested we do X. When you do that, you instantaneously gain the trust of your group because they go, wow, you're willing to admit when you're wrong. That gives me a voice in this group, and it actually gives me confidence that you're open to the best possible ideas. And so the advice that I give to leaders is actually to do the opposite of what we tend to do when we're put in a position of leadership. We suddenly get worried and we get insecure and we think, I've got to be perfect. Well, in fact, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be aware of when you make mistakes and quite open about it.
Not only do we try to hide from our weaknesses, but we hide from our stress. Emotional agility author Susan David argues that leaders need to stop complaining about their stressed lives and understand that emotions are messages, and we have to listen to the messages that stress and our emotions are sending us so that we can understand them and then use those emotions and that stress for progress.
So often leaders want to do away with stress and do away with emotions. And leaders will often say things like, I want to get rid of my stress. I want to get rid of my fear. I want to get rid of these things. No one did anything meaningful in life without some stress and some discomfort. If you were going to climb Mount Everest, you would expect some cold, dark nights. And the same applies to any other aspect of our life. You know, no one said raising a child was going to be easy. No one said leading was going to be easy. But what that implies is that instead of trying to battle with the idea of stress, open your heart up. Think about, what is this trying to tell me? And how can I not fear the stress, but embrace it and use it effectively in what I'm trying to achieve?
Now, you may not have seen this one coming, but the one message that General Stanley McChrystal has for leaders is that leadership today requires empathy.
And I very much make it different from sympathy. If you can't turn the lens around and see how the people you work with view something, then you're going to always struggle, because people come at it from a different angle, your partners, your subordinates, you name it. And they've got a reason. They've got a cultural background. They've got a history. They've got equities. And sometimes we sit across the table from someone in anything, and we think if they don't get it, we think they're obtuse or they don't care. So we talk louder. And in reality, if you can learn to switch that, you don't have to agree with their view. But if you can't appreciate it, you're really going to struggle.
And empathy goes hand in hand with listening. Zappos Holly Delaney is using listening to drive business results through culture.
Really listen to people and really put yourself in the shoes of an employee. So get out of the mindset of it has to be done this way because it's always been done that way, or that's the quote-unquote best practice, and really build and put together what you want as an employee and listen to the employees about what they want the company to look like, because it's the employees that are moving the company forward, and it's the employees that are making those decisions every day, and it's what they do that grows the company.
Now, if you're starting to clue into one through thread in all of these messages, it's courage. The courage to grow, the courage to work with stress, the courage to admit we're wrong, the courage to listen to and understand and articulate others' points of view. Perhaps most frightening, though, is the courage for a leader to let go and empower others. And that's the culture that Barbie Graver is fostering at Netflix.
Have the courage to empower your employees. Assume that they're capable to absorb the honesty of your feedback, and expect to be amazed. The shorthand we use to describe the culture is freedom and responsibility. So we like to give employees the freedom to do what is right and the responsibility to know it's their job to do so. And we want our leaders to empower their employees, but also for our employees to feel accountable.
Now, to realize that potential, you have to know your people and understand everyone isn't the same. We can't treat the whole world like their nails and wear a hammer. Everyone isn't an extrovert, nor extroverts even the best leaders, says Power of Introvert author Susan Cain. She argues that rather than expect your people to be someone they're not, instead, leaders should draw out their strengths and then mix and match a team to where the whole is worth more than the sum of the parts.
To work with people to draw on their own natural strengths instead of asking them to be someone else. The best performing teams tend to be a mix of introvert and extrovert. So if you want your teams working at their best, you've got to work these dynamics out, because they're usually operating completely unspoken and all kinds of misunderstandings that just don't need to be there. With the smallest of tweaks, you can really open things up for people.
And finally, in this special 10 for 10, we close with the courage to lead by example. Happiness expert Sean Aker says leaders often can't understand why their teams are unhappy when they themselves are modeling unhappiness.
Wait to be successful before you're going to feel happier. You're limiting your brain's ability to have higher levels of productivity, energy, sales, and have that positive effect upon your team. Happiness is a choice. Happiness spreads, and happiness is the greatest advantage in the modern economy.
10 thought leaders, 10 lessons in 10 minutes. Hope you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please head on over to iTunes and let the rest of the world know by giving us a rating. And thank you so much for your time. Thanks for a great first year at the CEB Talent Angle. And here's to a happy, healthy, and very productive 2017.